Last year, we worked through an acrostic during the year that many of you probably remember, and I just want to give you a quick refresher, and then we're going to move on. But here it is. It was the faith acrostic. Any of you remember that conversation that we had during the year last year? It was basically this. It's a way of helping you organize how to share your faith. The first letter was forgiveness. All right, good. We're all there. That everybody needs what? All of us need forgiveness. Second is what? It's available. Aren't you glad that God's forgiveness is available to you? I mean, it really is. Go ahead, put it up there. It's what? It's impossible. It's impossible for us on our own to get to God. We cannot do it on our own. How about T? There comes a moment when we have to what? We have to turn to God, okay? At some point, you have to respond to God's call and say, yes, I will follow you. And if you will do that, you get H, which is heaven. That's one way to share your faith. What I want to do today is do something I don't think I have ever done in vocational ministry, in a worship service on a Sunday morning. So you're here for a first. It'll either go okay or it won't. We'll find out. The beautiful part is in about a half hour, it'll be over. One way or the other, okay? What I want to do today is talk with you and walk you through how to share your faith using the Roman road. Now, you may have heard of the Roman road. You may know the Roman road. You may have it memorized forward and backwards. You may be able to walk up that road forward and turn around and walk backwards on it. I don't know. But here's what I want us to do is to take a few minutes and walk you through that process. Now, here's what I'm going to challenge you to do. I want to challenge you to take your Bible. And you're going, well, I'm on a tablet, okay? I guarantee you, if you're on a phone or a tablet, you've got a place to write a note still, because my apps let me do that. So I know you can do it. And I want you to write on the inside of your cover of your Bible the reference, Romans 3:23. Now this is deep, you ready? Once you get through writing that down, turn to Romans 3:23, okay? What that will do is it'll give you the reminder of where to start talking about this process. And so what I want you to do is to go ahead and write that down if you feel comfortable. If you don't, take the outline, or if you want to do it in fancy script or something when you get home this afternoon, take the outline and do this, because what it will do is give you an opportunity. Now, if you were here last Sunday, we talked about tithing. We said tithing is an important thing that comes from the heart, that we should be people who share faithfully and give faithfully and do those things. Here's another area of our Christian walk that we ought to be doing from our hearts. We just talked about forgiveness in the Lord's Supper, right? Anyone likes forgiveness? I love forgiveness. I love that God's forgiven me. Aren't you glad that God's forgiven you if you're a child of God? I think we all say yes. But we also need to have a responsibility that we step out and let other people know about this simple gospel, that Christ loves them and he wants to forgive them and he wants to give them a new life. And so here's what we're going to do is we're going to walk through these five passages. And I'm going to encourage you to make notes, and I'll walk you through it as we go through that. So you've got inside of your Bible Romans 3:23. You've turned to Romans 3:23. So let's look at Romans 3:23, okay? Here's what it says. You don't have to memorize it. Y'all ready? You've got it noted in your Bible. You're going to flip to the page. You're going to take the person, and you're going to walk down to that verse and say, here's what God's word tells me. Here it is. For all have what? Sinned. And fall short of the glory of God. How many people do you know that would say, well, that's not me. I'm not a sinner. I'm a pretty good guy. I'm a nice girl. I've done good things. I'm a moral person. But here's the reality. In our heart of hearts, don't we all understand and grasp the reality that every one of us is what? A sinner. We have to recognize that I am a sinner. Sometimes we run out and almost brag that. We say, well, I'm a sinner. Hold on. What I want you to understand is this passage is not there just to help us understand that we have done wrong things in life, but we have actually committed actions that stand out against holy God. Look at the passage again. We've all sinned. Y'all okay with that? I mean, you shouldn't be happy about it, but we all have it, okay? We've all sinned. And we what? Fall short of God's standard, his glory, his perfection. So we're all short somewhere. What Paul wanted the believers at Rome to understand is this. There's not one person on planet Earth that doesn't have a sin problem. Every person we encounter in life has a sin problem. You and I, before we knew Christ, had what? A sin problem. And if we didn't understand that or grasp that or confess that, we probably still have a sin problem, okay? We need to get this. The reality is every person walking on planet Earth today without Christ is a sinner. You go, that's not very loving. Oh, I think it's actually very loving to help people understand that they have a problem if we're going to show them how to let God fix the problem. Y'all with me? So we got to start with this reality. Our sin has cut us off from God. Our rebellion has created a gulf between us and holy God. And the reality is every person on planet Earth has this problem. You're going to encounter people this week at work, at school, in the supermarkets, out at play, at the ball fields. Everywhere you go, you're going to encounter people who have this reality. They are living in sin, and they are cut off from God. They are separated from God. They've fallen short of the glory of God, as the text says. As the astronauts would say, Houston, we have a problem. And if we stopped here, it'd be very depressing, wouldn't it? We all have a problem. But I want you to look at the next passage. Now, before you turn the page, at the bottom of that page, you're going to highlight that verse, or you're going to underline that verse, or however you want to mark it, so it's real easy to find, okay? But you've already told yourself at the first of the Bible, Romans 3:23. You get there, you look at it. At the bottom of that page, I want to ask you to write these words, Romans 6:23. At the bottom of the page, you can abbreviate Romans if you want to. You don't have to write it all out. You can just write Romans 6:23. Now, y'all are getting with me now. Where are we going next? Romans 6:23. Okay, so turn to Romans 6:23. And look what this verse says. We are all sinners. I think we're okay on that one, right? We are all sinners. And if we stopped there, we'd be depressed. It gets worse where it gets better, but hang in there with me. Look at what Romans 6:23 says. I get talking too fast sometimes and I get ahead of myself. Romans 6:23 says what? For the wages of sin is death. If the verse stopped there, that'd be bad, wouldn't it? Oh, I remember my first job where I got paid. I worked as a gas station attendant at a full service gas station. Yes, I'm old enough to have been around when they had full service stations. Okay. At the end of the week, my deacon boss, Baptist deacon boss, paid me $3 an hour. That's big money back then, okay? If I hadn't showed up at work, I wouldn't have what? Earned that money. But I did. And he handed me cash. And you know why. Anyway, good Baptist deacon that he was. All right. Look at the text. Some of you are figuring that one out. Good. For the wages of sin, what we have earned is death. My sin has earned me what? Death. We're all going to die, Patrick. Okay, I get that. But he's not talking strictly about physical death. He's talking about an eternity separated from God called spiritual death. We have all earned death. But the free gift is what? Of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So catch what's going on here. Our sin has earned us death. Your sin has earned you death. My sin has earned me death. The reality is this. If we stop there, it'd be a depressing thought. But the reality is it doesn't. There's a free gift that goes with this. What God did for us through the action of his son on the cross, through the shed blood, the broken body that we just celebrated a few minutes ago, he earned for us, made the way possible for us to have forgiveness. Because of his broken body and his shed blood, he took your place. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. What can you do? What do you do to earn a gift? Nothing. All you have to do is what? Receive it. My sister posted a picture this week of me when I was 7. Now, if you happen to see that picture, bless your heart. But anyway, it was a picture of me at 7, my older sister at probably 10, and my baby sister was not born just yet. It was right before Christmas, 1973. And I remember we didn't have a lot of money in those days, and really Dad was working trying to get us Christmas. But the really cool thing is we'd come in at Christmas morning into that living room in that trailer house that we lived up in Arkansas. And here's the deal. Under the tree, there were presents. What did I do to earn any of those? Not a thing. They were there because my dad, my mom, loved me. That's the thought I want you to see behind this verse. The wages of sin is what? Death. We've earned death, but the free gift, the gift that you can't earn, the gift that you can't be good enough or smart enough or moral enough or nice enough to get, the free gift of God is what? Eternal life in Christ Jesus. Our sin has earned us death. We got a problem. Look at verse, okay, now at the bottom of that page, you need to write Romans 5:8. If you're following along with me, Romans 5:8. We're going to actually flip back a page before we go back to chapter 10 in a minute. Romans 5:8. Once you get that done, flip to Romans 5:8. I'm going to move on so you can keep listening as you're writing those things down. Because here's what happens. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. Your friends are sinners. And our sin is what earned us death. Yet, in my sin, we're building a sentence, by the way, a couple of sentences if you're following along. Yet in my sin, what happens? God still loves who? Say it, me. He loves me. Look at Romans 5:8. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, before you ever had a thought to not be a sinner, to be under God's grace, before you ever understood anything about the gospel at all, Christ died for you. Not for them, but for us, for each one of us. So catch the idea here. Tucked into chapter 5 is a little promise that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. When you and I were lost in the depths of our sin, when you and I were in the middle of the mess that we were born into, God still loves you. God still loves me. Oh my goodness, what good news. Let me tell you what, this is the good news, isn't it? The gospel is this. You don't have to spend eternity separated from God. You don't have to spend eternity separated in a real and literal place called hell. No, instead, because of his love for you, what? He died for us. When you were a sinner, Christ died for you. Y'all get that? This is amazing stuff. In that moment of death, God took upon himself, Christ took upon himself the sin of those who would be redeemed, making forgiveness possible for all who will receive. And that happened before you were ever thought of. God's love reached down and says, I'm going to die for him and for her. There was not a thing in you that earned, merited, or was worth redeeming, and yet he still loved you. God loves you. One of the biggest promises in this process is right here. Even though I was a sinner, even though I had declared war on God, even though I was going my own way, even though I was doing my own thing, God still loves me. Do y'all believe that? Do you believe God loves you? Do you believe that God loves your neighbor? Do you believe that God loves your coworkers? In our sin, God still loves us. So what do we do? At the bottom of this page, you want to write this reference, Romans 10:9-10. Romans 10:9-10. If you want to turn to that page once you get it written, I'm going to keep moving. Here's what has to happen. We understand that we are sinners, correct? We understand that we've got a problem, correct? We understand that we are separated from God, correct? We understand that God loves us. Y'all with me? God loves me, so I'm done. Not according to Romans 10. Look at the passage with me. Romans, Paul was writing to the Roman believers, trying to help them get ready for the next phase of their ministry. And he reminds them that there has to come a point, a time, a moment when confession comes from the heart. Look what he said. Because if you confess, how do you confess? Is that, can you write a confession? You can. Can you think a confession? You can. But his thought here is not a written or a thought process. This is a spoken word. If you what? Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and y'all don't miss the end here, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you might be saved. Is that what it says? You have hope. There's a chance. If it all balances out in the end, you'll be okay. That's not what the text says, and I want you to see this very clearly. I know this is basic for most of you. This is simple. Sometimes we got to go back to the basics, right, and get it nailed down so we get it. He says what? You will be saved. Why? Because with the heart, one believes. Not the mind, the heart. Christianity is not anti thought. It is not anti-education. We talked about that in Baptist Faith and Message a few weeks ago. Not at all. But when it comes to salvation, it is what? A heart matter. In your heart, one believes and is justified. You know what justification is? This is a simple definition. Make it easy. When you confess and believe in your heart, you're justified. What happens in that moment? It is just as if you never sinned. His blood washes you clean. You are totally, completely forgiven. Now, consequences of our sins may remain, but the reality is the forgiveness is there. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is what? Saved. Someone says, well, I've thought about it. I think it's a good idea. I think morality is a good thing. I think going to church is a good thing. I think getting baptized is a good thing. I think going to church is a nice thing. Those are all great things. But let me tell you something. If you don't confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you won't be saved. Because those are part and parcel of the process of finding God's forgiveness, of receiving his offer of salvation, is I have to confess, I have to believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. And it was with our mouth we believe, our heart we believe, and then justified, and then through the mouth we confess and we're saved. Y'all with me? Everybody hanging in there? Good. Got one more. The bottom of that page, and you may not have to do much because you're probably not going to turn pages because it's on the same page. We're going to look at verse 10:13. So if you want to write at the bottom Romans 10:13, you can, but understand that you've already highlighted or underlined 9 and 10. Now we're going to look at 13. Because this is the word of encouragement that goes with this. How do we get saved? We believe in our hearts and we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord. Well, but I don't think I can be saved. I don't think anybody could forgive me. I've done these things that are just awful. I'm terrible. I'm worthless. I'm pitiful. Wait, I'm done. Wait a second. Romans 10:13 gives us a word of encouragement before we make this decision. You ready? Or as we make this decision. For what? Everyone. Does that mean everyone's going to be saved? It does not. But it does mean this. That everyone who does this will be. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, see the word? Will be saved. Will be saved. We need to understand that this forgiveness that we so desperately need and so desperately, most of us at least, want to find is available right now. Right now. It's not something you got to go looking for, not something you got to find. He says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. See, we in our human thinking, we're kind of messed up, and we start thinking, oh, well, there's no way. Don't I have to do some things? Don't I have to be something? Don't I have to be moral? Don't I have to do this? Don't I have to balance the scale somehow in my favor? No. God's forgiveness is total and free when you receive it. And then you enter into this process called salvation. And you heard me say salvation process. Yes, because what he's saying in the original language here is the idea is you're going to be saved. And that's where we've talked about over the last 4 years. Y'all tired of hearing it, but we need to hear it again. Salvation is what? A point where we confess Christ. It's a process where he transforms us day after day after day. That's where I pray most of you are, is in that process of salvation being worked out in your life. And then one day, you will be saved when you stand before the throne of God and you've breathed your last on this planet. See, I want you to understand that whatever you've done, wherever you've been, God's love is big enough, strong enough, and gracious enough to forgive you. Isn't that amazing that God loves us? So now you've written in your Bibles, you've made notes. What do you do with this? I'm going to apply it in just a second, but I want you to hear this before I move on. If you will take the time to sit down with someone you know, or even someone you don't know so well, and walk them through those passages, God promises that his word will not return void, that his word will accomplish what it's designed to accomplish. You may not see them profess faith in Christ in that moment, but you will be part of the process of people coming to know Christ. You may be the one that they pray and ask Christ into their heart. You may not be. God calls us to be faithful to share the gospel. So what do we do with this? Three quick thoughts, and we'll go get fish. How about that? Number one, we need to grasp this. If we understand the gospel, if we understand the simple gospel, it's these five things, that God does love people, that we are sinners, that we need a transformation, we need a change. Here's what we need to get, and I don't want to use the word buy into, but we need to really get it in our souls, and it's this: everyone needs forgiveness. Somewhere along the way as a culture, folks, we have gotten to a place where we think everybody's basically good. The scriptures tell us everyone is basically not good. Everyone needs forgiveness. Every one of them, whether you grow up in a Christian home or not, whether you grew up going to church or not, it doesn't matter your background. What matters is where you are today and where you're headed forward. And the reality is we need to get it that our coworkers, our neighbors, our friends at school, our people we encounter in the business world, they need one thing more than anything else. It's the thing we needed more than anything else, which is forgiveness. We need to stop seeing ourselves as not that bad and to not look at people and go, well, they're not that bad. I hesitate to tell you this, but before I met my wife, I went on a date. It was a blind date. That's the only way I could get dates in that day, okay? They had to be blind or they wouldn't go out with me. You with me? Okay. But I went out with this girl and she had a lot of baggage. I'll just leave it at that. And somebody asked me later, they go, well, how'd your date go? Well, how'd it go? And I said, well, she was clean. That's not a high recommendation, folks, okay? I didn't know what to say. She was out there. But the reality is every one of us have got baggage. Every one of us have got issues. Every one of us have got problems. Every one of us needs what? Forgiveness. We need to learn to see our friends in need of forgiveness. We need to see our relatives in need of forgiveness. We need to see our associates at work or school in need of forgiveness. We need to see our neighbors in need of forgiveness. And until we grasp the truth that people without Christ need forgiveness, we won't ever tell them about Jesus. Because we're going to think, well, they're okay. Friends, I'm afraid the pathway to hell is filled with people who are okay. It's our job to love people enough to speak the simple gospel. Everyone needs forgiveness. Second, if everyone needs it, there's a second thought I want you to see that goes with this. Everyone is offered the Savior's forgiveness. Does that mean everyone will receive it? It does not. It does mean that the gospel is available to anyone you want to talk to. How much does God love people? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever, Aren't you glad that's in there? Whoever believes in me will have eternal life. Y'all with me? Everyone is offered this. And so you're going, well, then somebody will tell them. And I got to tell you, dear friends, yes, your pastors are going to be out there sharing the gospel when the opportunities arise, when we don't arise. But I want you to get this. You, as an individual who knows Christ, are going to encounter people whom we will never have the opportunity to share the gospel with. And if you really love them, you want to be the one that offers them the Savior's kindness. You know, sometimes we look at people and we go, oh, well, God couldn't save them. Really? Oh, he's a murderer. He couldn't be saved. Really? Maybe they just killed in their heart. It's okay then, right? Well, but they're adulterers. God couldn't forgive them, could he? Oh, yeah. Or they just lusted in their heart. Could he forgive them? Yeah, he can. They're pagans. There's no way they would accept the gospel. Really? Maybe they're just religious and don't know Jesus. No matter where they are, God is right there offering them forgiveness. Everyone needs to be offered the forgiveness of Christ and his kindness. Which leads me to this thought. It's a challenge for you and me. And it's this. All believers lovingly share God's hope. I want you to hear this with the heart of a pastor, please. I am not here today to lay a guilt trip on you about sharing your faith. I don't know if God can bless when we work by guilt. But I will challenge you with this. Do you love the people around you enough to speak the simple gospel to them? When the opportunity arises that you share a witness about what God has done in your life and is doing in your life and what he's continuing to do in your life, are you willing to lovingly, not condescendingly, not condemningly, but lovingly share God's hope? If we understand and if we really get it that people without Christ are lost and people who are lost face not an eternity separated from God, but they separate a life, they live a life separated from God's presence in the here and now, then why can't we, why wouldn't we love them enough to speak the gospel? I get it. Listen, you and I were merely flawed earthen vessels. I get it. We all struggle with our sins. We have problems. Some of us worry that we'll go, I don't know if I know the answers if they ask questions. Can I tell you something? I don't have all the answers. Neither do you. It's okay to go, I don't know the answer to that question. Would you let me work on it and come back with an answer? Would you let me research it and figure out if I can figure out what you're asking and ask and find out with the answer? I want you to understand, we don't ever have that happen because we're never speaking the gospel. Believers, lovingly share the gospel. What's keeping you from loving your friends, loving your relatives, loving your associates, loving your neighbors enough to let them know of the goodness of our God? We say we love people. Don't we? But if we don't tell them about Jesus, if we don't show them from the scriptures how to get to Christ, do we really? You know, last week I talked about a heart issue, tithing. Today I'm talking about a heart issue. Seeing other people find the joy, the peace, the patience, the blessing that we celebrate today in the broken body and shed blood of Christ. And we sit there and go, oh God, thank you for forgiving me. And we're grateful for that, no doubt. But do we love those around us enough to let them hear the gospel? From our lips, from our lives, from our reality. What I pray is this, that maybe you're here today and you go, you know, I'm not entirely sure I know Christ. I've heard a lot about it. I don't know if maybe today's the day you need to meet Christ. If there's something in your spirit, in your heart, in your mind going, you're missing something. Listen to that. Don't put it off. Maybe you need to come here in a minute and talk with one of our staff members and let us lead you through the process of salvation. Maybe you need someone to counsel with you. We have people who love to go out and sit with you and talk about it. I want you to know that being a church member is great. Being a moral person, wonderful. Being a nice community member, good. But if you don't know Jesus, something's missing. Maybe you've worked through this process, you go, I'm missing something. Is it possible you're here today and you're here for one reason, so you can experience firsthand God's amazing grace? For many of us, the challenge is probably this. I need to share my faith with somebody. I've got a neighbor who doesn't know Christ. I got a family member. Man, those are the hardest ones to witness to, aren't they? Family members. I need to sit down and just share with them. This is what Christ's word tells us in Romans. These are the things I need you to see. You're not responsible for the outcome, but you are responsible for what? Whether you share it or not. Folks, this world is in a mess. And the only thing that's going to change it is a heart turned to Christ. You get to be a part of that. I get to be a part of that by loving and speaking the gospel. If we really, really love people, here's what we'll do. And it's the conclusion. And I'm done. We'll speak the gospel. We'll speak the simple gospel. We're sinners. God loves us. Forgiveness is available. Wouldn't you like to have that in your heart? Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the privilege of spending a few minutes looking at your word, being challenged to not just receive forgiveness, but God, to also turn around and speak forgiveness to those around us. Lord, we're not responsible for the outcome, but we are responsible for whether we ever speak it or not. So, Father, I pray that as we've heard these words, as we've maybe written some notes in our Bible, or maybe we'll do it this afternoon with some nice pretty pens and highlighting and all that kind of stuff, that God, you would allow us to have the opportunities to share the gospel with our friends, with our relatives, with our associates at work, our neighbors, to speak the gospel to those around us as you open the door. Father, we just want to be obedient. But Father, we'd also want to offer an opportunity for anyone in this room who's never met you, God, to make a decision to follow you, to profess you as Savior and Lord. With the mouth, profession is made once we believe in the heart. Father, I pray for any in this room who need to make a decision. We pray your hand would be free in these moments. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together and sing. You respond as the Lord leads you.